There's a turning point in world spiritual history that begins to develop in Parshas Vayetze. The Sefer HaKuzari writes, Rabbi Levi writes in the Sefer HaKuzari, that from Adam all the way up until Yitzchak, Yaakov, so there's a say, Adam is Yitzir Kapav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam is Ribono Shel Olam, so to speak, handiwork, and Kadosh Baruch Hu infuses him, endows him with a Yipach Vapach Nishmas Chaim, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is the first human being to have a neshama. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, there's something special about his neshama. He has what the Kuzri refers to as a skula elokis, a special divine feature, special divine spark. The Kuzri seems to indicate that those lines of genealogy in Bereishis and Noach, from Adam to Noach, from Noach to Avram, are tracing, maybe not every single member of the genealogy, but certainly along that axis, the skula elokis is going from one generation to the next. And it makes its way to Noach, and it makes its way to Avram, and Avram passes it on, not to Yishmael, to Bnei Keturah, but to Yitzchak. Yitzchak passes that skula elokis, not to Esav, but to Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu, as the Gemara Pesachim highlights, Yaakov Avinu is the first one who's mitaso shlema, which means that all of his entire family is following his path, all of his 12 children. Now, for the Gemara Pesachim, that was something that was on Yaakov Avinu's mind to the very end, because he was the one who, he was the inflection point. He was this, like, turning point in world spiritual history, because once the school elokis is being passed to all of one's children, you have families instead of just individuals, and families are building blocks of a nation. And to Yaakov Mitaso Shlema is a foundation for building Am Hashem. And it's not for naught. It's the third of the Avos, the last of the Avos, who experiences this shift. And that shift obviously begins in Parshas Vayetze. Yaakov Avinu makes his way to Charan, to the land of his cousins, the family of Nachar. He makes his way to Lavan and marries Leah, marries Rachel. Leah begins to have children, one after another, after another, after another, and Rachel is infertile. And the pain of infertility then as now is incredibly intense. Rachel turns to Yaakov and she says, Hava li banim bim ayin mesa anochi. Give me children, and if there are no children for me, mesa anochi, I will be dead. Pretty frightening to hear. Yaakov's response, V'yichar af v'chara apo, he's upset, he's angry, and he says, Hasachas elokim anochi, among the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asher monami meich pri vatem. He withheld children from you. What's going on? How do you know what's Rachel saying? How is Yaakov responding? What are we supposed to make of all this? Ramban writes, begins as usual by quoting Rashi. Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph, Havoli Vanim, give me children. That's what Rachel says to Yaakov. Amram Mefarshim, what do you mean, give me children? How is Yaakov supposed to give her a child? Shetispalel Alai, daven for me. It's not that she's not asking Yaakov to be intimate with her. It's not that he had physically withheld from her the capability to have children. He's saying, spiritually, I need your spiritual contribution. I need you to daven. And then you'll take a look at Rashi. When he says, Amar HaMafarshim, one of the Mafarshim he has in mind is Rashi. Take a look in Rashi in the Pasuk. So Rashi says, Rachel says to Yaakov, your father davened for your mother. Last week's Parsha. But Yetar. It's like a nocha chishto, ki akarahi, possibly the beginning of Parshas Talos. So Rachel says, your father davened very successfully for your mother. You should be davening for me. You should be davening for me. That's Ramban summarizes, shetis palela, what she's asking for is tefillah. She's not asking for anything physical. If there are no children, Mesa Anochi. What do you mean, Mesa Anochi? So Rashi quotes the following. Lashon Rashi. Shemisha ain't lo banim chashiv kemes. But who Medrash Rabba saying? That's a comment from the Midrashim that Rashi quotes. And you see on the bottom, footnote 83, it's a Breishas Rabba. Rashi quotes the Breishas Rabba. The Gemara has this idea as well that there are different people who are sometimes described as being, as lacking a certain element of life. Ani chashiv kemes, Mitzora chashiv kemes, and Misha ain't lo banim chashiv kemes. You're very much alive. Person's in full, very much alive. You can have a very rich life, but there's something missing. Sometimes people will describe, I feel like a part of me is dead with it. You can have a very busy life, but there's something very fundamental that a person, a couple struggling with infertility will often feel a very deep lack. So that's rooted in the language of Rachel. She says, Mesa Anochi, meaning that the Rashi is understanding the Pasuk, interpreting the Pasuk of Derech Drash, the way you would translate Mesa Anochi, how would you translate Mesa Anochi according to Rashi? Right, I am dead. If I have no children, I am dead. I'm literally dead, but there's a certain slice of life that's missing. So Rabban says, if that's what Rachel is saying to Yaakov, she's saying, daven for me. Otherwise, this is going to be a hole in my life. You need to daven for me. Daven for me the way Yitzchak daven for Rivka. So Rabban says, if that's pshat, that's drash, imkein ani tamea, imkein larachar apo. So number one, why is Yaakov, what's there to be upset about? She's saying, I'm in pain, daven for me. What's inappropriate about that? And v'lomar masachas elokim anochi. Number one, he gets upset. Number two, he says, am I in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why, in what way is she making it seem as though he's in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'shomei al tzadikim Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillah of tzadikim. She's not asking him to play God, she's asking him to daven. And he responds, why are you asking me to play God? U'masha Omar. And so there are three parts to his response. Number one, we don't understand the first part, the emotional response, chara apo, what's there to be upset about? Number two, the first part of what he says, hasach hazakim anochi, why does that fit? And number three, the second half of the third part of his response, the second half of what he says, asher b'manami meich privatin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld from you, children. So, and that's what Rashi quotes. Abba lo hayu lo banim shamanami meich privatan. The Medra says, Rosh Baruch Hu withheld it from you, meaning not from me. I have children through Leah. I'm not childless, you are. Masha Omar, Abba lo hayu lo banim, ani yesh li banim, mimeich mana. Yeah, you're asking about, I should daven my father daven. My father was as childless as my mother, but I'm not as childless as you. Rosh Baruch Hu withheld from you, not from me. Mimeich mana. Mimeni lo mana, Rabban says, what does that mean? V'chia tzadikim ein mespalim ba'ad achir? You can't, a tzadik doesn't daven for other people? Is that a rule? You can only daven for yourself? Well, in our experience is that we daven for other people. And he says, if you need a raya, there are psukim in Tanakh that talk about davening for other people. Eliyahu and Elisha espalu ba'ad noshim nachios. We know the stories of Eliyahu and Elisha, the davening for the Isha Shunamis. Isha Tzafat is diving for women, Nashim Nachrios, he doesn't mean non-Jewish women, he means in the Yavama sense of unrelated. Presumably his point is, he could have quoted someone in Chumash, Avram davens for Avimelech, Moshe Abenu davens for Miriam. But maybe there was more of a connection. It's not, there was no perfect, not all the people that Eliyahu and Elisha daven for necessarily have a deep connection. Do the Nevi'im have a deep connection with? So the notion of davening for others is well attested to in Tanakh. Certainly for your own wife. So good, you don't have the tzorach. Your wife has the tzorach. Rabban says the whole. If that's what Rachel is saying, then all three parts of Yaakov's response are tamua, ani tamea. It's a tema. You can have a tema on a Gemara, you can have a tema on a Pasuk Chumash. That was his language, Anita Meir. Vinira, The Rabban says, well, number one, Bishvil Zetifasu Rabboseinu. That's why Chazal indeed critique Yaakov Avinu. Amar Bereshis Rabba. Bereshis Rabba goes on to say, Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kachonos HaMi'ikos. Rabban Shem says to Yaakov Avinu, that's how you respond to someone in pain? She comes to you, she says she's in pain, and you give her over the head? You get angry at her? You say, oh, rub it in? Oh, yeah. You're the one who has the problem. I don't have any problems. I'm not going to daven for you. So the Medrash says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, how do you respond to someone in pain like that? And he was, so that the Bereishis Rabba understands that Yaakov Avinu was criticized for this. This is Taka Ro. And that Kodesh, Medrash Rabba goes on to say that Kodesh Baruch Hu punished Yaakov Avinu. What was the punishment? Chayecha shebanecha asidin lamod lefnei bina. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I swear to you, Yaakov, your children will ultimately stand before her son. Meaning, the sons who are yours but not hers, the B'nai Leah, the B'nai Bilhah, the B'nai Zilpah, will ultimately be in a subservient position to B'nai, her son. I mean, Yosef is Yaakov's son too, but Yosef is a joint son of Rachel and Leah, of Rachel, excuse me, and Yaakov. The non-Rachel children ultimately stand subservient, cowering, frightened, before Yosef, and that was this approach that Bereishis Rabba understands, that was an onesh to Yaakov Avinu for the way in which he responded at this point to Rachel. Totally out of law, totally inappropriate response to someone in pain, and that was the onesh. Rabban says, okay. So at this point we're saying, the Bereishis Rabba has this approach all down. Rash, Rachel is asking Yaakov Avinu, daven for me. I need you to daven for me. Otherwise, I continue to endure the death-like pain of infertility, of childlessness. And Yaakov gives this very sharp three-part response. And the Bereishis Rabba says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, you did wrong. You did wrong, you're going to be punished for that. Yeah.
If Yosef was Yaakov's favorite son, how's it a punishment?
Yeah, so it's hard to understand in part because the whole notion of having multiple wives is a very foreign concept to our experience. It's hard to even, her son, your son, multiple wives at the same time. I'm not talking about blended family where there was a first marriage and then the marriage disintegrates into a different marriage. That is something that we experience in our society, and it's painful. This is something totally, this is a different type of, I don't know what the experience is like. You have multiple wives simultaneously, children, multiple, sort of hard to understand. But I assume the answer lies in understanding that reality that we don't get, because we haven't, it's not part of our experience.
We don't usually think of this as perfect. We usually think that they're above, trivial affairs like this. What's going on with
them? Yeah, very good question. Very good question. Okay, so Kadosh Baruch Hu takes him to task. Good. So this wasn't a mitzvah. But still, Yaakov Avinu, surprising. Good. So that's why these are the first rounds. And we've seen this pattern of the Rabban often. Quote Rashi, so work out Derech. So the last week also, work out Derech Drash Hussein, then work out Derech Pshat, and then come back out Derech Drash, maybe even out Derech Drash. Look at things a little bit differently than Rashi presents. So he's going to do that. For now, he's going to move to Pshat. So what's Pshat? Pshuto Shal Mikra. Out Derech Pshat, right after footnote 89. Out Derech Pshat, Omer Rochel Yaakov, Sheyitain Labanim. Rachel says, give me children. Havali banim, again, an odd verb to use. Give me children. Uve emes dait lema shis palel aleha. And she did mean, as al derech drash toto derech psha, she doesn't mean give me children physically. She doesn't mean, adopt some children for me. Nor does she mean, we haven't been intimate, we should be intimate, so I'll be able to bear children. No, she means daven for me. But she's what's the name? Ayin Mesa Anochi. Aderach Drash, the Mesa Anochi is that the Mishain Lo Banim Ki Ilu Chashav Kemes. Aderach Pshat, she's talking about death. Literal death. This is a threat. A frightening thing for Yerachal to say. Her intent was to ask him to daven, but not just to daven. She's give me children means ensure. If I give you something, then you definitely have it. Daven, but make it happen. Make it happen with your daven. Don't just try. Make it happen. And she says, if you'll make it happen. And, Otherwise, she tamis atzma bitzar. Here he says tamis, a line later he says tamos. Tamis atzma means she will kill herself. I don't know if he means that she's threatening suicide out of the anguish of childlessness. A line later it's tamus, which means that she's talking about dying out of, I mean, she's just going to, her heart's going to give out because of the agony. Either one is certainly frightening. It said, Dibra Shaloka Hogan Bikinasa. That was she's in incredible pain. But to use that sort of brinksmanship, well, I'm going to negotiate. I'm going to force Yaakov to daven better by threatening that otherwise he's going to lose me entirely. I'm not going to live much longer if you don't, you know, make sure that I get children through your tefillos. V'chashva, she thought, and this is Ramban's take on the Rapshat, ki be'ahavaso osa yisane Yaakov yilbash sakfeif. She thought Yaakov loves her so much that he's gonna, maybe he's not davening enough. He's davening, but he's not fasting. He's davening, but he's not wearing sakfeif. If I make it clear, you know, that everything's on the line, he doesn't want to lose me, then he'll, you know, pull all the stops and daven for real. And then he'll really daven well enough that I'll get the kids I want, so that I don't die out of, here's the tamos, so I don't die out of my agony. Then we begin to understand Yaakov's response. Yaakov says, Yaakov responds emotionally, and then he responds verbally. Ayichar af Yaakov. Why is he upset? So at the core is Ein tzilas hatzadikim biyadam shetishama v'seyane al kapanim. I can daven. You can daven. He can daven. She can daven. Tzach is going to daven. Tzedekes is going to daven. It'll be more impactful. But we're not guaranteed results. This is not a linear process. Daven, press the button, get results. Even in machines. Not necessarily a linear process. Everything's beyond Hashem. But davening is very clearly, I'm gonna invest myself in tefillah, but I can't guarantee I'm davening for X and I will get X exactly as I imagine X to be. So that was the sort of the theological problem with her demand. Like, oh, you haven't davened hard enough. If you were davening well enough, we would have results by now. It doesn't work that way. It's not linear. See, he was upset because of the way she was, the brinksmanship that she was pulling. Oh, you better or else I might die. That didn't sit well with Yaakov. That's what she says, I'm not in the place of Ribono Shalom. Of course I could daven. Of course a Jew can and ought to daven for others. Of course you should be plugged into the pain of people around you and respond in multiple ways among them to daven for other people because you care, because you empathize. But I can't promise results. That's what he says. I can't play God. I'm not a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu can tell you, you will have a child. Kodesh Baruch Hu can send the Malach to my grandmother, Yaakov says, to Tzara, and say, you will have kids next year. That's Ribono Shel. I'm not Ribono Shel, I'm a person. And then the Mimeno Nibna Pri Habotim Lo Mimeno, the fact that she is not, the Zeh Liyaser osa ulahachlima. He was upset at the way Rachel was speaking, so he snapped back. But with a svara. Now, so that's a little bit easier to understand. Still, what's going on? Let's wait and see. Let's see where the Rabban goes with this. He says, number one, Hatzadekas bereosa shlo tuchali yisameich atfilas Yaakov. That Tzadekas Rachel realizes that she can't rely on Yaakov Avinu's tefila. And that's not the missing link. She's going to have to daven herself. So reminiscent of many Chassidish Meisim, there are multiple Chassidish Meisim of this ilk. Obviously, that happened 3,500 years later. Coming to the Chaz of Lublin and to other Tzadikim, people come, you got a Rebbe, you got a daven for me. He's like, looks, person, sorry, I can't help you. He's like, well, told me you got a daven for me. And the person walks out of the office and realizes, like, they have been sort of relying on the tackle daven for me. And then he realized, like, I need daven for myself. And they get a shoulder tap a couple minutes later, a half hour later, and the Rebbe wants to see you. Now, you got the point. I'm glad to daven you as well. But I'm not God, and I can't substitute for God, nor can I substitute for your tefillas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can join you in tefillah. But if someone else just becomes the your agent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to have a direct relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll just have the Rebbe will daven for me. That's a problem. So there is something of that going on here in the Ramban. Rachel realizes she needs to invest fully in her own tefillah. Shava lehispalel al atzma el shomea tzaaka v'zehu v'yishma eleha elokim. That's why the pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to her tefillah. Okay. And then he says, well, ulai nisaken al das rabo senu. Maybe we can. This is a difficult. Still, the line is so difficult. Mana mimech velo mimeni. He said that just to hurt her. Very hard to understand. She said maybe we can use a little bit of what we can adopt a piece of that medrash to make some more sense of this. Yaakov yefshar shalom espala ishto ahuva ki akari. Yaakov certainly was davening fervently already for Rachel. Tzadik would daven for anyone whose pain he knew of. Certainly for Rachel Imenu, for his beloved wife. El Shlodes Kabel, Tfilasu. He had been davening. He had been davening fervently for Rachel to have children. And so far, his tefillas had not been accepted. Uva'at to Rachel his soleolav. Rachel comes to complain. She says, Yitin labanam al kapanam betfilasu. As Ramban was explaining on Derech Pshat, that he's maintaining that peace, that her demand was, I need results. And kilono failhu miavishasakin. After all, your father did it. Your father Yitzhak Avinu, he pulled off, he davened, he got results. So if your father did, you can do it too. Daven, get results. And his response is, it's not ultimately it's up to me. And here's where he adds a little more of the how you understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu withheld from you, but not from me. He says, maybe it was the following svara. You're asking me that the Asher Monami Mech Privaten is a response to why aren't you like your father Yitzhak? He says, number one, he's a tzaddik. Avav Nishmat Tfilos, Yishu Tzaddik. I'm not the tzaddik my father was. My father was a big tzaddik, so my father tefillos were answered. That doesn't mean I'm such a big tzaddik like my father. Hey. Okay. We assume that Yaakov is a pretty big tzaddik as well. Yaakov didn't necessarily assume that. Yaakov says, my father was a big tzaddik, I'm not such a big tzaddik. Okay, so I'm sorry, I'm not as big tzaddik as my father. My tefillos aren't as potent. And then he says something else. Manami mech privaten means us, number two, the Ramban Kedarko just sort of one clause after another, but it sounds like there are two different ideas. Number one is Aviv Nishma Tfila Soshu Tzadik. My father's tefillah was accepted. He was a big tzadik, meaning, as opposed to me, I'm not such a big tzadik. Number two, Asid Leos Lo Zera. He knew that he was going to have progeny. He knew that he was going to have descendants. Aval hi nimna mimena privatin. But Rachel, she's the one who's missing children. What's the Rambam saying? What does that line mean? Yeah.
She's not guaranteed any offspring.
Right. Right. We have a nevuah. Yitzchak was told by his father, I had a nevuah, ki Yitzchak yikar l'chazara. Avram told Yitzchak, I had a nevuah that Am Yisrael is going to come through you. Yitzchak knows that there's a haftacha b'nevuah, he's going to have children. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he knew it was going to happen. Right? Avram Avinu goes to Akedah, he doesn't know how it's going to happen. He knows that somehow Am Yisrael is going to come out of Yitzchak. Not really sure how, we'll figure it out. Right? And ultimately he understands how. Right? Yitzchak says, it's been years and years and years and years and years. 20 years, somehow it's going to happen. At the Nevuah. A Haftacha b'Nevuah. Yaakov says to Rachel, but darling, I don't know for sure that you're going to have children. In the sweetest way possible. Like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, keep you to Klal HaChazar. So I'm going to have children. But I don't know, but there was no indication of who, but how many wives? Maybe we'll be a loving husband, wife, we'll never have children. What? Huh? Right. No, she's saying, in other words, she says the way the Medrash understands, and the Rabbanan understands, you can infuse that into Pshuta Mikra as well, that she says, your father davened for your mother. So he says, but darling, I'm davening for you too. He says, yeah, but your father got results. Your father davened for your mother, but yetar. So can say, beginning of Parashat Tos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds that feels he's stuck and they have children. So why can't you get results? He says, but darling, number one, I'm not the tzaddik my father was. And number two, my father had there was a haftacha that my father and mother would have children. There's no haftacha that you're going to have children. Now, and then the Rabban says benachanu. Rabban says, I think that's taka pshat. That's the way to read the psukim. Rachel says, what is this? You got to ramp up your tefillah. If you would dav, you could get results if only you tried hard enough. After all, your father got results. Why aren't you fasting? Why aren't sakvei? For there must be more till you could do you're not doing. And he says, darling, only Kadosh Baruch can guarantee results. And you say, but my father, if I were childless also, I would know that my tefillos would get results. But I'm no longer childless. You still are. I can daven. I have been daven. I've been davening for you for years. I don't know what's going to happen. Now, there's one more angle to this Ramban. Ramban finished, but he's not finished. Because let's go back to a line that he quoted earlier. Amr Bereshis Rabbah at footnote 88, up above. Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach ha'onis ha'meikos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Yaakov to task. How do you speak to someone in pain that way? So it's, I think, very important is to now plug that back in here. In other words, Yaakov was making sense. He was making a good point. Saying, look, I've been davening for you, as Rabban just said, I have been davening for you, I'm going to continue to daven for you, but I don't know for sure that it's going to work. And that was, going back to Ariel's question before, that was the taina on Yaakov, you know. It wasn't, oh, you said, can you talk to me? No. You know, what you said made sense. But that's not the way you talk to someone in pain. That now is not the time for logic. She's in pain. That's not the way you respond. Well, I'm glad to have you more, but you know, it could be, it won't work out. Yeah, it all makes sense. But kachonos hameikos? That's not the way. There'll be a time for a conversation like that. But when someone is crying out in pain, someone's saying, I might die of my agony, that's not the time to start giving teirutim. That's the time to just zone into their pain. That's what the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos says. You don't have, when someone's in the grip of very powerful emotions, that's usually not the time to have a rational conversation. And the Mishnah of Avos says, you know, Menachem, Mishnah of Sha'evlam, Mutulafana, Mishnah of Avos has a couple of examples. Very often, and it comes up often when there's a conflict between people, So often conversations in the heat of the moment are not effective ways of dealing with the underlying issues. It's very hard to have rational conversation in the heat of the moment. A lot of times it's important to remember what happened so that catch the person before the next flare-up. Catch the person shlo b'shas maisa. At a calm moment, you can initiate a rational conversation. And you'll begin psychologically, you'll begin emotionally, begin by speaking to the person's feelings and open them up. But if it's a good moment, you can then have a rational conversation about the issues on the table. But when passions are already flaring, b'shas maisa, it is a lot more difficult to have a rational conversation. And when someone's in pain, it's not the right time to have a rational conversation. And that's, I think, if you plug in the Ramban's maskana to that Breishas Rabbah about HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Yaakovinu, kachonos ha-me'ikos, that's exactly what the Breishas Rabbah is saying. And that's part of what we're supposed to learn from this parsha. That when someone's in pain, you have a good teretz. But it's not always the time for terutzim. And someone's in pain, you respond to their pain, you hear their pain. You try to do as much as you can of listening to their pain, make sure they're heard, and we'll deal with the issues later. So I'm so sorry. I can't imagine how much that hurts. I cannot imagine. I'll be down with you, I'll continue down with you. I cannot imagine how much that hurts. There'll be time later for a substantive conversation. And that's a deep lesson that the Breishas Rabbah is teaching. And you asked before, Yaakov's chet, according to Rabban, was a subtle chet. Didn't say anything gratuitously hurtful. She asked a question. And he's pointing out the flaws in what she was saying. I'm not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can't guarantee. You asked about my father, it's not the same situation. But it touched on too many raw nerves. That's not the way, and this is not the time. And that's l'chaora, one of the major, major lessons of the Parashas Vayetze. And to recognize one of the great yesodos of human communication. Because the reason why B'shas Maisa is so difficult is because one of the global issues in trying to get better communication is recognizing when people talk to each other, so there's meaning in my head, and I'm trying to convey that meaning to your head by saying a certain message. So I'll say a sentence or paragraph. In my head, I have a whole chapter of ideas. I'm making a thousand assumptions based on which I say something to you, but you don't hear the whole chapter in my head. All you hear is the sentence of the paragraph that I said. And then you're going to reconstruct in your head when you hear that, what am I saying? Well, assume that you're paying attention, you're going to try to figure out what I was saying. But if I'm not empathic in the way that I speak, if I'm not attuned to the fact that you're not me, and I'm not thinking about how are you going to understand and hear what I'm saying. So I may say one sentence. It happens all the time with text. It happens with real conversation too. Right? I send a quick text, and I knew what I meant, and I had a certain context. But you looked at the text out of context, either out of context, or you didn't understand what I was trying to say. You misinterpreted that grandly. It's all the more of a concern when people's emotions are flaring. That's not. I'm just making a rational comment about. Well, yeah, yes, but here's what you're saying is wrong. But a person in a grip of powerful emotion, they're just gonna experience that as a punch. There's a way to respond to people who are in pain. One of the major lessons of Parshas Vayera. Yeah, question.
I don't think the whole